The epistle this morning for the dedication of St. Michael the Archangel is taken from the book of the Apocalypse. In those days, God signified those things which must shortly come to pass, sending through his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to whatever he saw. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep the things that are written herein. For the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace be to you, and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is coming, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is according to St. Matthew. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child to him and set him in their midst and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore humbles himself as this little child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such little child for my sake receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it were better for him to have a great millstone hung around his neck, and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of scandals, for it must needs be that scandals come, but woe to the man through whom scandal does come. And if thy hand or thy foot is the occasion of sin to thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter life maimed or lamed than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if the eye is the occasion of sin to thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, their angels in heaven always behold the face of my Father in heaven." This is the end of the epistle and gospel reading. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. This great feast day of St. Michael the Archangel, whose banner is, "Who's unlike unto God?" The battle cry that he used against Lucifer. What a name, the light bearer. An angel created so beautiful above all the other angels. And yet, by admiring himself too much, caused him to fall. "I will not serve." Angels, being pure spirits and full of knowledge, didn't get a second chance. He didn't get to say, "Wait a minute, I made a mistake. I take that back." It was instant, and he was lost. God created angels in his image and was hoping that through the little test that they would earn their glory in heaven. But confusion was pulled apart by Lucifer himself, so this would not happen. So our Lord created man and gave him full dominion over the earth and everything in it, in his own image and likeness. And once again, Lucifer, trying to disrupt things, causes man to fall. The battle between Michael and Lucifer goes on to this very day. It's interesting to note in history that St. Michael was the protectorate of the Jewish synagogues, the Jewish people, before he became our defender But when we look back in time, especially of our own Catholic Church, we read that a day that Pope Leo XIII was saying Mass. And at the end of this Mass, he saw a vision that caused him actually to faint there at the altar. And when asked later on what the problem was, he said, "I heard a conversation between Satan and our Lord. And the conversation goes as such, 'I can destroy your church.' Our Lord says, 'You can. Go ahead and do so. I need more time and more power. You shall have it. Do with him what you will.' The time Lucifer needed was 75 to 100 years from that date. That date was 1888. 75 years into that makes it 1959. The beginning of Vatican II. What a coincidence. So during this whole time, Pope Leo developed this beautiful prayer to St. Michael. And he ordered it to be said throughout the whole world, every church, every little ordinance, everywhere, to prevent this from happening. Until 1960, when the church stopped saying this prayer. And from that time to this time, we can see the damage that is being done. We don't need anyone to really tell us about Fatima's third secret. You're living it. It's obvious what it is. It's a loss of faith. Because didn't our Lord even say, "When I return, will I find any faith left?" To destroy the church, there's only one real way to do that. You have to take out the priesthood. No priest, no sacraments, no church. How can we go about to do this? Well, if we put doubt in people's minds about the episcopal consecration and ordination of bishops and priests, it'll make it all doubtful. Very good tactic. And in a true sense, if it would have went all the way through, yes, it's probably true today. You wouldn't have any priests or bishops because they'd all be invalid, every single one of them. But the thing is here, we have to remember the church, yes, is made up of religious and clergy and all that. But our faith is more than that. We're just the instruments of giving grace to you. But the faith relies in your heart. And that's one thing he can't conquer. Satan might poison the mind like he's doing today, but he cannot touch the heart. That's for God alone. God reads the hearts of men. So as we continue on with all this, our Lord always in his mercy gives us the best gifts. And here he gives us the seven angels who stand in his presence all the time as our defenders, St. Michael, St. Gabriel, St. Raphael, the other four that aren't mentioned, probably will in the future, who knows, but they are to defend us, to help us fight against this war against Satan. But we have to do our part. We have to do what we're supposed to be doing by showing the good example, by our modesty in dress and behavior, by our speech, by everything we do. This is how we actually honor the great archangel. The good Lord gives to us these princes of his heavenly court to help us. Can we grasp that? Let alone our guardian angel, but the archangel's here too. And we always have to keep in mind exactly what our Lord has really done for us. Says so clearly here, "To him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." If that isn't a sense of God's love for you, I don't know what is. That's a lot saying in that little sentence there. But like the angels, they were invited basically to a banquet similar to what is in the gospel today of our Lord, 19th Sunday after Pentecost, where we speak about the banquet the king is throwing for his son, and he's inviting everyone to come to the banquet. And in the beginning, of course, Lucifer said, I won't serve, so he's thrown out. The ones who were invited started excusing themselves. Well, I got this to do, I got that to do, I got the other thing to do, I cannot come. And or they send other servants and they just kill them off. So the king is angry and sends his armies out and destroys them. And then starts the process all over again. Go out in the highways and byways and bring them and compel them to come to the banquet. It is ready. That's our invitation. Our Lord wants us to be prepared for the banquet. And it goes on to say, you know, the good, the bad, the indifferent, and all this. Yes, the bad. We think, what, but bad people get in here? Well, the bad people that have done bad things and now have converted, you know, they got the title bad because that's what they were. But they have changed. Salvation is important. Sometimes we really don't think about it very much. Our redemption, our salvation. But Scripture has ways of putting the point across. Especially when really not asking for anything. You know, we hear in parables, Lord, that I may see. Or Lord, I this or that. Well, remember what Didymus said on the cross. He didn't ask anything except, Lord, remember me. When it's our turn, let us pray that we have that type of faith. Lord, remember me, a sinner. The gospel in St. Michael's here talks about scandal. Don't we see a lot of that in these days and times? Almost every hour of the day. People just really don't take our Lord's words very seriously. And so when he reacts, you know, then they start singing a new tune. When punishment comes, which it will, in various ways, either by earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, whatever, we have to understand that. And we have to deal with it. Yes, I feel sorry for these people, and we should all pray for them, for their losses, and especially the lives that have been lost. But the punishment for mankind is going to be more severe than these little hurricanes or tornadoes, because they're losing the sense of what is sacred. They're losing the sense of why they are here in the first place. And the devil is having a heyday because he's got a lot of servants, because they will not and refuse to fight back. They like what they're doing. They like the easy way of life and don't really care about the consequences. The only way to save these people, again, we have to go back to our good example, our prayers, our good example, our sacrifices, our prayers, every day, every day, every day, for the conversion of sinners. Because after all, we're talking about two eternities, heaven and hell. And our Lord gives a little description about the eyes, the hands, the feet. That's just pride and arrogance. Those things are what he's basically talking about. But we have to think about this really seriously. There is an eternity of complete chaos, agony, and suffering. And the greatest suffering is the knowledge that you will never, ever, ever see God. The worm that dieth not. And you'd be telling yourself, oh, so easy it would have been if I could just save myself if I just would have done A, B, C, or D. And my pride and arrogance wouldn't allow me to do it. Never, ever, ever to see God. And the knowledge of that, knowing how easy it was to save yourself and you refused to do so. Well, is it heaven? Happiness? Peace? Joy? The beatific vision? And every beautiful thing you can imagine is there. including the accidental glory of seeing your loved ones that have gone before you and seeing them in their happiness. What a joy. Our Lord really doesn't tell us much about heaven. He just tells you the way to get there, and if you do this, this, and this is what you'll get. He keeps the secret to himself because he will dazzle us when the time comes. And we will be so happy that we paid attention, that we lived the lives that we were told to live. Be willing to suffer the things that he has permits us to suffer for his sake. Always knowing that he loved us and he washed us in his own blood. The eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what things God has prepared for those who love him, who love him. He's preparing things for us. All we have to do is persevere unto the end. And like St. Paul says, patience winneth the crown. Take courage. Don't ever, ever get discouraged or despair of anything. The good Lord will always take care of you. We just got to do our part. Yes, there will be hardships. You can count on it. The crucifix was a hardship. We have to put up with our crosses too. And we will. We can endure it. For the love of him, we can and we will endure it, no matter what he sends us. Because it's all based on love. And the more you love God, the more you're going to be in tune to doing his will every day of your lives. May God bless you. In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.